Here we are, it is the 26th of June. It's Jean's birthday. She's come over from New Zealand and she's had 5 weeks here in the UK. And we thought we would get together and have a little bit of a reminisce about things, times gone by, for posterity.
What you haven't said is 2018.
Sorry, 2018. Say,
you said
sorry,
2018. Yeah, absolutely. Time, Bill. So what year was that?
Come on then, Jean, what's your earliest recollections then? Let's go back to the old days when you were young, because I can't remember when you were young, because I'm much younger than you. So what were your earliest recollections?
Probably my first birthday getting a doll's prank.
Oh, right, okay. And was that fun?
Well, it was a surprise and it was, yeah. I remember wheeling you around in the pram because you were crying and Mum wanted you quiet and I was round and round the lawn. That's my earliest recollections.
And what year was this, Jean?
You were born, so what?
But you were born
you'd be in a pram, so...
You were born 40, in 1930.
Or something. Nine.
You were born in 39, so your fifth birthday was 1944.
Yeah, but
you
in the pram would have been when you were a baby.
I was three.
Yeah, you were a year and a bit younger. Mm. Yeah. And I wasn't even a dreaming mum and dad's.
No, you were a mistake.
Well, so they say, that's right. And, you know, by the way, what we've got here, we've got Jean Slater, John Slater and Graham Slater. We're all brothers and sisters and, you know, we just have a little reminisce. And, yeah, that's right, I was a mistake, wasn't I? Because I was a big gap between you two and me, wasn't there? That's right. Come on, Bray, what's your earliest recollection?
I think a mistake, I've got to correct that. I think you were a post-war celebration.
Yes, that's right, yes, of course.
You were born in 1946.
Exactly.
The war finished, well, Japanese war finished after the German war. When did the Japanese war, when did the world have a short period of peace?
What's your earliest 46. Recollection then, bro? We can look that up on the internet.
I can remember living in Elizabeth Road, 86 Elizabeth Road, 85.
Right, 85, yeah.
Where we left, when I was probably five or four, I'm not sure, to go to the shop.
So you remember the Anderson shelter and all that sort of thing?
I think I remember a big ball, which was the Anderson shelter, looking back. But I can remember sitting in the garden on bricks. I remember Dad building things in the garden, a pond. He was very energetic, Dad was. I remember trees arriving by the railway delivery van, because he'd bought some bare-rooted trees, fruit trees, of course. And I don't know how old it was, I had no idea. But it was when we were still living in Elizabeth Road. I remember Elizabeth Road reasonably well.
Well, I don't, because I wasn't born then, was I?
No.
So where did we go next then, girls and boys?
I remember Elizabeth Road during the war, for the Anderson shelter.
Right.
And because we shared with the neighbours next door, because they didn't have any children.
Right.
So we all shared. And Dad wouldn't be there because he was a firefighter.
Yes, he
and the guy next door used to carry me down to the shelter, and I can remember looking up and seeing the flames overhead.
Really?
And then we went into our bunks and went back to sleep.
Oh, good heavens, amazing, isn't it? Golly gosh, those were the days.
Mm. Mr. Cook.
That's it,
Mr.
The
Cook. Next door, the Cooks, that's right.
I never knew their first names, Mr. and Mrs. Cook.
Yeah.
And I understood they didn't have the Anderson shelter because they turned it down.
Because they didn't have any children.
And you think they weren't allowed? Okay.
Well, no, I think they said we'll share, so.
I understood what Mum said. You the first time they were air raid, pitter-patter, and they came in and said, do you mind if we come in here?
Yes, that's my understanding.
Well, that's true, I don't know.
I only heard that from you, because obviously I wasn't born.
Yeah.
Yes, there you go. Oh, well, there you go. So, that's your earliest recommendation. My earliest recollections, of course, are a little bit later. But, I mean, before I go on to mine, let's move forward a bit, because they left Elizabeth Road, Mum and Dad left Lizardcroft, and they went to Mount Street, was it? To the shop? Mm. They bought a shop immediately after the war, was it? Or whilst the war was still on?
Well, there was still rationing, for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is what ruined it, really.
It wasn't a good time to buy a shop.
No. Well, it wasn't a good time to sell a property either and buy a rented shop. Buy a business. They didn't buy the shop, they built the business.
Oh, did they not?
So they paid rent, and in the meantime, the property prices went through the roof.
Right.
Because there was a shortage of supply, and needed to be a demand. Course, but it was interesting because the area was bombed out. I mean, we had some lovely fun on piles of rubble and things in snow.
That's right.
Because there was all sorts of piles of rubble where there used to be houses. Whether they were bombed out or just fell down because it was a very old area is a question. And we went to school there.
And everything arrived by horse and cart? Not everything, but a lot of stuff did.
Yeah.
And on a Saturday, am I right in saying, but I can't remember because I was, by this time I was born and I was crawling around on the floor, I think breaking into the cigarettes and things, I was told, I think. But did you say that Mum and Dad used to make faggots and peas on a Saturday night for all the shop people who came in the shop, and it was a roaring success?
It was Saturday night. It was Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Dad's day off. The only day off of the week. He worked 6 days and had Thursday off. And so during Thursday, he used to make faggots and peas from whatever they could obtain from Marsh and Baxter, the wholesaler.
Yeah.
And Dad used to bribe the man to give him more sausage meat and things, and we used to break
the
bread.
I thought he said he wouldn't bribe the man, but anyway, that was my understanding. He could have done much better if he'd have bribed the man, but I thought he wouldn't do it.
I don't know anything about that.
I don't know.
Nothing at all.
That was my understanding, anyway. Yeah. I've only got it from YouTube because I was too young to understand.
It was a huge success.
Yeah.
The best part of the business, by far.
And now how he used to make the faggots and peas, Jean?
In the baby's bath that you were bathed in.
Oh my goodness, did he really? And he used to scrub it afterwards.
Or he would have scrubbed it within an inch of its life.
I suppose it all got really, boiled and everything, so it didn't matter, but there we are.
Oh, Dad was very hygiene conscious. He never had any dairy. No problem with hygiene there.
No, that's right.
But the gas stove, instead of having three racks or two racks, it was a good old-fashioned gas stove. Had to have a rack at every point you could have. So Dad had a lot more racks made at work, so he could have faggots on every rack. Seven, eight racks, I'm not sure. And every rack must have had 8-10 faggots on it. And so, because...
Productivity!
This mix of sausage meat and bread crumbs and packs of sage and onion stuffing. I don't think anything else went in.
No idea.
And we got mixed with our hands, scrub your hands and then arms and go in there and mix it by hand. No machines. And then you made it into a dollop and it went on the rack. And the racks went in the oven and cooked
I didn't realise they were cooked before he put them in I didn't know that.
Very ingenious, then.
I just thought he put them into a liquid and...
They make gravy as well. They make huge quantities of gravy to go with it. And people would bin their own basins. Of course, there was no containers. So they'd like to bring your own container with a cloth over the top, perhaps. And they would say so many faggots and the appropriate amount of peas and gravy went with them.
No plastic waste in those days.
No waste, no. But over the queue outside the shop, it was just an amazing sight. We kids weren't too much involved once they went to cooking it, and we were much involved in preparing the bread and whatnot, but...
You were probably in bed by then because,
We were allowed to run.
All right.
And poor Dad did all the washing afterwards, and then I remember we used to get a try and get a packet of sweets. Try and get a paper packet with some sweets in. I think some money too. But that was our pay.
So that was Dad's day off, was it? Making the packets and things.
Absolutely. Golly gosh. Very hard work. Mm. How old was Dad then? Come on. He was 29 when they got married in 1938. 29, 38, we're talking about 1946, 47.
Right, when were you born?
I was born in 1936.
That's right. So
46, I mean 36, 46.
So it would have been 46, 47, I suppose.
Yeah, he's, we worked out, but look, at the end of the day, what happened was the shop, well, they sold the shop, or they sold the license to the shop, did they? And they decided, because Mum was very much on the move, wasn't she? She wanted to, I don't remember this yet, but we went to West Bromwich, 22 Nickel Street. Warmington, number one Warmington Avenue.
Sheldon.
In Sheldon.
Sheldon. Way out in the sticks, really.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
And Dad used to go work by electric trolley bus from there.
Oh, he didn't bicycle then? Okay.
Not from there.
Okay.
Not from there, no.
Because we were saying the other day, because we went round there, and you said how, what a long way it would be. But,
he used to go on the trolley bus. Mm-hmm. It was a long way. It was near Albert Airport, near Birmingham.
It was, as we saw the other day, it was near the airport. And you two used to walk to school, out of the end of the road, turn left, and then round to the right, past a church, and then your school was on the right, I think, bro, you were saying. And we did find it, but actually now, it's actually a Catholic school. It's there, it's an old school. But whether it was a Catholic school then, I don't know, but it is now. It must be because of the directions you gave me was just perfect. And, but anyway, there we are.
School's on the left though, not the right.
On the left of what?
Depends so, which way you go. As
my memory goes, goodness me, I thought that more than 70 years ago, let's be fair about it.
Yeah. Anyway, there was a school just there. But it was about 0.6 of a mile from. Anyway.
Mm.
Is that so?
Yeah. We found it.
We found it.
It may be, maybe not, but. Mm-hmm. And the pub is still there opposite? There was a pub opposite the house. The house, that's right.
We're talking Warmington right there.
Warmington,
yeah.
The Wheat Chief?
Well, it's not called the Wheat Chief anymore. I don't know what it's called, but it's a horse branded pub now.
That's right.
So we went in and it was all right, wasn't it? They were pleasant, nice people. And they got New Zealand wine, which pleased Jean no end. So Warmington didn't last very long, did it? Because I don't think Mum was keen on it. She realised she'd made a mistake.
It was so far from anywhere, God.
Yeah.
Actually, it didn't last long. In fact, they didn't even unpack some of the packed crockery, which I remember being in the bedroom where you and I slept, or I slept. Or, I mean, there were boxes of crockery there, never unpacked from moving. And of course, most of the time when they had Warmington Road, they also had the shop, because they didn't get rid of the shop before they moved. And so they were commuting every day back to
Nature to look out for the shop.
That's why you and I had to go to school on our own. And Dad, of course, was struggling to keep working.
So he was working as well, and then back to the walls of the shop. Oh my goodness, so there's all lots of balls in the air.
But in the end, I don't know whether they sold the shop or profit or loss, but certainly the property itself had gone up. Which they were renting. So, but Warmington Road was sold, yes, with another drama, because he wouldn't sell, and they were going to auction it, and it did auction, but they were told after the auction it was a fake bid and usual drama. Mm. And then I think they just in the end panicked and said, let's go back to our roots and go back to West Bromwich, or Dad's roots anyway.
And presumably when they sold the shop, they've got some money then to think about buying somewhere else, so the opportunity arose.
Correct. I do remember seeing on the sideboard a pile of £5 notes, big white £5 notes.
First time we'd ever seen a £5 note.
You remember that pile, do you? Yeah. Now you were born by then, because you were crawling by then.
Exactly.
I was crawling in the shop,
but I mean, I don't remember Warmington Road to number 7 Warmington Road at all. But the only time, my first recollection, as we've been through first recollections, was definitely in our next move, which was 22 Nickel Street. And I do remember that. And I probably remember Dad picking me up from nursery school in the High Street, which was right behind the Memorial Gardens in the High Street, one night, and it was, Wednesday, I think Wednesday was day off, and I was woken up, because we used to have a sleep in the afternoon, after we'd done nursery school for sleep, and he crept in, and I was said, Graham, Dad's here, and I remember getting up, and going with Dad on his bike, and I think we probably went to get the watercress and, you know, so on. But I remember going up and down the hills to the watercress where it was at
the day off on a Thursday.
Well, whatever it was, that Wednesday or Thursday. I thought it was Wednesday, but it was Thursday. And so that's my earliest recollection, I think. But I don't know how that was. But I remember that little seat I had on the back of his bike.
Yes, very well. I remember that well.
But, so we moved on to Nicholls Street, which was a bit of a take on for it. It was a very old house and very grand and without chimneys and all sorts, wasn't it, really? You know, problem.
No camper, of course.
Problem house, really.
Cold as charity.
Yeah, sure.
But we stayed all those there. We stayed there a few years.
We went to
junior school and on to senior school.
Yeah.
And you went on from nursery to junior.
Bedford Road.
I'm not sure actually. You might have been junior.
Well, Mum used to work at the chemist shop at the end of the road.
Bannister
and Thatcher's. Mm. And you used to work there as well. I think you used to help out at the weekends and things.
Wash the dirty medicine bottles.
Wash the dirty, that's right. Mm. I think you both went to the Beaches Road School, yes?
Correct. Which is round the corner.
Which, of course, you went to.
Absolutely. And then I went to that.
I'm not sure that I did.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Because we were querying that the other day. But it was called Beaches Road School. It's now called King George V School, and it's still there. It's kind of the tower. The clock tower is a listed item, so anyway, it's a nice school. We went round there, didn't we? Only 4 days ago. And it's very nice. The people are very welcoming. Obviously, things have changed around there now. It's a huge number of ethnic minorities around there.
I never saw a white face.
Well, alright, okay. But
ethnic majorities.
Ethnic majorities. But they were all very nice people and they were very welcoming. Mm. And they said, ring the headmistress because she may have a list of all the people who went there to the school when you were there. So I will do that. Mm. But anyway, we moved on, did we not, from Nicholls Street. I mean, there was a bit of a drama, wasn't it? The chimneys needed pointing and very, very sad
drama.
Mm. The whole house was a drama.
No, it's temporary, of course.
Well, unfortunately, I think one of the builders who was doing the chimney fell off the scaffolding, didn't he? As I recall. Mm. And I don't know.
Actually, the scaffolding was only put around the chimney, and the chimney collapsed with the guy on the scaffolding, so the chimney fell down through the roof.
Oh, dear. It was a big drama. It was all got put right, but the man was okay. He did survive, didn't he? But he was seriously damaged. And again, that was auctioned initially, wasn't it, and didn't sell. And then they sold it, didn't they? That's the first time I saw a £5. I saw this white thing with all the little scroll on. That's the first time I saw one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was sold provisionally to a Polish or Hungarian guy who was trying to make his way. And then a car salesman, I'm serious, came along and said he would buy for the asking price, which wasn't what the Pole was going to say, and they were all pleased and everything was alright, and then of course he disappeared. Mm. And they went back to the Pole hanging and said, would you mind? And he said, okay, I'll go, yeah, I'd like to. So in the end they sold it. After about a year or two trying to sell it, by which time the house in Nicholls Street was being held, the house in Elizabeth Road was being held for us all that time by the people who moved to Brill. And so they were jolly lucky, really. In those days, things took a long time.
Because they wanted to move back to Lisbeth Road, which was where they started from.
Yeah, they hadn't signed anything, but it was all...
They made no progress whatsoever.
Yeah. So anyway, tabs were difficult to sell, you know, but they did in the end move, but it took a bit of a drama.
So after all these moves, they moved from Elizabeth Road, which is a bit further down the road,
slightly smaller houses,
just very slightly smaller, to one, number 62 Elizabeth Road, from 85 to number 62, which was a slightly bigger house, but only very slightly bigger.
But just to mention for the record, they paid either £300 or £400 and something for the first house.
Mm. Right.
With a mortgage, of course, because I think they put £50 down or something. And the second house up the road, well, we're in 1938, they bought the first one. The second one, which was we bought in about 1952, 53, I was 12 or 13.
Yes.
And they paid £1,600 for it.
Three times the price.
Yeah, and of course it's still Mickey Mouse numbers these days, but it was a big increase in mortgage. The mortgage was £1,200 by then. So Dad, they'd moved from a house originally which they had a mortgage of less than £400 on, to a house down the road in the end after some years, of which they had a mortgage of £1,200 on.
Wonderful.
And that was sad. I mean, that was sad,
very
really.
Sad.
But they did their best. They made right decisions. They tried to make the right decisions. It didn't quite work out. And they were willing to bat above their weight in a way in terms of getting advice and knowledge and smartness and things. I don't mean they were stupid. What I mean is they didn't have the right knowledge to know what the market was about.
No, because Dad went to the councillor he got the mortgage from, and the guy said, "Oh, you've got a fixed rate mortgage." He said, "So you're only going to be paying 3%. So if the mortgage rate goes up, you'll still only pay 3%." And what did Dad say? He said, "What happens if the mortgage rate goes down?" He said, "Well, you'll still pay 3%." All right, I'll take it, but he got his eye on the ball there.
That mortgage, the second Elizabeth Road house, you're quite right, was the mortgage was from some council.
That's right. That's
the council did in those days. They wanted to develop, because these people were all paying rates and things, and it was a thing that was done.
Yeah.
The previous mortgage of the West Bromwich house was from West Bromwich Building Society. And if you remember the comedy series, the boys... what was it called? Alfie Design Pet.
Oh, yes, yes.
The boy had his money deposited in the West Bromwich and his
building. Oh, Barry had it. Oh, Barry. Yeah, Barry in the... Oh, no, Barry, I got in the West Bromwich building.
I used to go and make the payments when I was at the grammar school. I was sent you there to make the payments. That's all I remember it well.
Well, I know it well, because we've been to the West Bromwich Building Society before now, because we have invested with them lately over the years. We do. They've got the best rates. We invest with them, you know. But as we have with the Cosley and Tipton, have been very good too, haven't they, Gavin? But anyway, there we are. We were in Elizabeth Road, and I was
secondary school by now, and you were moving on to secondary school.
Yes, but still, I was at Beaches Road School. You moved on first of all to Crown Hill School, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. As we found out the other day, as we know, is now a Tesco's or something, but it's been gone. But
in Crown Hill Circus.
In Crown Hill Circus and Crown Hill Ringway and all that. And you moved on. You were the only one of us three who, I think, is that right?
Yeah, went to your 11 plus,
and you went to the grammar school. Is that right? Yes, you went to West Bromwich Grammar School.
Yes, I don't think it was a highest-rated grammar school in the area, but it was a grammar school.
It was the only one.
It didn't even have its own premises. It was using the West Bromwich Institute premises, because it didn't have a school building.
Oh, really?
Oh.
We looked for it the other day, and we couldn't, you know, there's no Googling.
One of the schools up the road, which was Dad's old school when he was at secondary school, it was the same school I went to the first year at grammar school. They use the premises.
Didn't Dad go to Spon Lane or something?
No.
Spon Lane was if you didn't go to the grammar school.
Spon Lane was always a dread. I remember
it was the
feeling feared that they said, "Oh, if you don't do well at school, you'll go to Spon Lane."
That's correct.
Like a kind of,
correct.
My God, you know, I better go do well at school.
Correct.
You know? But of course, while we were there at Elizabeth Road, you were in the choir at St. Philip's, which was right next door to the school.
Yeah.
Yes? You weren't in the choir, were you? No, I don't think so.
I did the crucifixion at Easter. Staines crucifixion.
Oh, you
the
did. Lord,
they expanded the choir dramatically and used to go in for that.
And I think you were both confirmed, weren't you, at St. Philip? Or
were you much before me, because I wouldn't do it. But
Oh, okay. I don't know. Anyway.
Correct. At the church, not the school.
Yes, at the church, which is next to the school.
Mr. Crowther was the vicar.
Mr. Crowther, that's right. Yes, Reverend Crowther. And the school, and the church is still there. We had to look that it was closed up. You can get in, as most churches are, but it's still looking a fine church. Built about 20 years after the school, actually, the church was. School came first. School was 1886, and the just 19-something that the church was, just a little bit afterwards. But it's still got the same shaped walls outside with a beautiful quirk.
Yeah. It never had a graveyard. It was a modern church by those standards.
Ah, okay.
It didn't have a graveyard. But it had a big grassy area that we used to play football on and things. It's called the choir boys.
Yeah. I remember going, and I used to dread Sunday afternoon, the clock would tick by and 3 o'clock was approaching, and I was waiting for Mother to say, time to go to Sunday school.
Yeah.
And I was hoping she'd forget, because I used to hate going to Sunday school. But anyway, I used to go, sufferingly, I used to go. There we are. So I don't know, that's it. And
the school did us proud, I think we all
did well after that. But and then we, as you say, Mum and Dad wanted to sell the place, and they did eventually sell it with difficulty. The general cultural mix of the area was changing. There was a lot of
West Indian, Afro-Caribbean
people moving in to Elizabeth Road. And it was different. It was different. There were people who were coming in, but it actually probably didn't help in terms of house prices generally. And so I think they probably had some difficulty selling, but they did manage to sell okay. Yeah. But they sold because the place was difficult to maintain. I think more than anything else, wasn't it? It was just a nightmare. I mean, everything was going wrong with it, and. As you say, back to their original home in Elizabeth Road, 62 Elizabeth Road. Which, of course,
let's get a year where that move took place.
Well,
1953.
1959,
60. No.
Earlier than
that? All much earlier. I'm thinking of my age and year I was in school.
Right.
I'm going to say 53, 54.
Well. Coronation. We went to Auntie Sylvie's for the coronation because she's the only one who got a telly. Sylvie and Leo's.
Correct.
And we went to the prefab there in Sheldon and we watched the coronation.
Well, we used to go for our holidays, by the way. When Sylvie and Leo went off down to the holiday camps down in Minehead, which they loved, we used to go and stay in their prefab, which was by our standards in the country.
Ah. And it was amazing.
Yeah, wonderful. We looked at
lovely, warm and cosy, all Montcon's fridge and all that sort of thing.
They're American, you know.
I mean, when did we first have a fridge? I think we talk about Elizabeth Road now, but it was definitely, we'd been in Elizabeth Road many years. In fact, I'll tell you why, because we'd built that, the veranda in Elizabeth Road, which Uncle John did. Uncle John, he made that wonderful glass that went kind of slightly curved. It was kind of every little one was a bit further up to get this, because it was a triangular shape.
The old man had worked that out. Uncle John hadn't.
Okay.
The old man had worked that out.
But,
yes.
Well, I thought maybe you had, but anyway, at the end of the day, that's where the first fridge we ever had resided in there.
Well, it was the old fridge from the chip shop.
It was a fish fridge. It wasn't very good.
But the first proper domestic fridge that Mum and Dad bought was after we got married.
So, well, that's going, that's a long, that's a very late.
1965.
Yeah, there you go.
We didn't have a fridge until after we got married. We have that fridge that's in the garage now.
And it was a proper little, proper,
under counter
fridge, just
domestic fridge. Like in the pantry. But the veranda was a great addition to that house.
Oh, it was. It was a windy alley before then, wasn't it? And it made it very good. Absolutely.
Storage space.
And then we moved on because we always used to have frost on the windows, didn't we? Jack Frost with all those...
Inside the windows.
Exactly, all those pretty patterns on the inside. Obviously, that's where the moisture was.
People believe you when you say you have frost inside your bedroom.
I think they probably do. Modern people don't, but the patterns were absolutely amazing, weren't they? You'd get up on a frosty morning, and there would be all these lovely patterns. And boy, was it cold, it was cold. But then all of a sudden, we had central heating. Uncle John Orcutt put in central heating for us, didn't he? And we had a solid fuel.
And you got very much involved because you really sorted it, didn't you?
Well, no. I didn't. He put it in and everything. And we had the solid fuel heating. And then later on, after the solid fuel heating, obviously, there used to be a lot of smoke and everything. It was difficult, wasn't it? And eventually we moved on to gas. And I think after I put the gas boiler in, but the gas thingy in. I was quite young then, I think, actually, when I did that. Anyway, it was okay. We survived. It didn't blow up. And, it was great. And, of course, these are the times now. We're coming on to when you first had a car. We're getting on now, aren't we?
Oh, you had a car.
You
made a leap there. You made a joint
leap.
The first car I had was from Jean's.
From the farm, exactly. It was King's Farm in Hill Village.
Well, it's where they are now.
And it's very close to where we live now, that's right. It was in a barn, wasn't it? Full of hens and everything, and cluck, 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 and it was all completely, And I always remember that you went over there, and I was sitting at home, on the sofa, and all of a sudden you came in through the door, and your face was beaming. It goes.
Sorry, the engine.
Mom telling the story. It goes. He says it goes. Your little face was
so kind. All the adults around, to us teenage kids, they were so kind and so helpful.
Mom
and Alec.
That's right.
But the people on the farm.
That was nice.
The name of the old boy.
Neville was the old man.
Neville, yeah. And his sister.
Come on, Jane. You know Neville and.
It was Olive.
There was a girl there who helped, wasn't there?
Oh, Anne.
Yeah.
And the other sister, which was the one that had a head screwed on. It was Olive and...
Yeah. And the Lux lived there. Sorry, I'm just...
It was Olive Luck.
Oh, Olive.
She obviously left her house.
And there was Graham Luck as well.
They
all seemed to live there. I don't know where they are.
And then there was a... sister that hadn't married, I can't think what her Christian name was.
I don't know how you got involved in that farm.
No, I don't really.
I don't know.
Except I was doing something from training college that got me there. Yeah.
So
you were very good for us because you were getting involved in things that we would never have got involved in otherwise.
And you introduced us
to things we would never got involved.
Yeah, so I don't know.
You had a lot of initiative and drive and you pulled us through.
How would we used to get to that farm? I
used to catch a couple of buses and walk up Sherryfoot Lane.
Oh, right. Because you got given some money. I remember going back on the back of the trailer and everything.
All that land around where you live.
That's right, yeah. Well, there's still King's Farm there, and you just say there's King's Court, it's on the corner.
Yeah, but there isn't a farm, there's just a house.
Yes.
By the transmission mast.
Brother that lived there.
Yeah, was he?
Yeah.
The farmhouse was a bit no more on the corner of Sherryfoot Lane. And
behind King's Court Flats.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I never, which we never actually did go and have a look at.
No, but next time.
They are there. They're
next time, They've done it up, I could see that much.
Mm. And it wasn't long before you got the sort of swinging 60s and all that, wasn't it, really? I don't know. Well, hang on a minute now. you were getting a bit older. You had your friends, you know, like Malcolm and... Was it Malcolm?
A-level, yeah. An
A-level?
Well, that was 1959-1960 sort of time.
And,
yeah.
He, and you also...
Swinging was a bit strong.
Well, you know, exactly, but you had, you had a friend who, I can't remember his name now, but I think you know him, he had a little old Austin 7.
Paul,
and the oil used to come out so quick, he put a tin underneath it to catch the oil, and then every day he would empty the tin and put it back in the top of the engine so that, you know, it just kept going round and round, didn't it, every time. Yes, Paul, that's right. And it, yes, that's right, that was Paul. And they were people from college, from university.
He was tall.
Very tall guy.
He was a mature student doing A level at Aston Tech.
Right.
He's done his national service in the Air Force.
Mm. Yeah.
And his mother died when I knew him, because I used to go out to his house. I met his mother in bed, as it were.
Oh, right.
Died shortly after. His father was a local headmaster. And we were good friends, and we've kept in touch, actually.
And you worked for Shell?
He did go to work for Esso, actually. Mm-hmm. And then he went on butyl sheeting. He came to butyl sheeting first. He went to Nottingham University, did chemistry, and then went to work for Esso on butyl sheeting, which is the stuff they tried to line the Suez Canal with. And then he spent his whole career on butyl sheeting for various, probably two companies, I think, well, probably his own company in the end. And he was taken prisoner during the first Gulf War.
And he walked out and walked across.
Well, I think they took a vehicle across, but yeah, he got out with the Americans. They escaped with the Americans.
Wonderful.
He was a nice guy, characterful guy. And he's a sad story because they were involved in an accidental gunshot. His wife had a serious gunshot wound in her guts, tore all inside out.
Oh.
They live in Houston, and in a restaurant, and a jacket, and a loaded gun in a guy's jacket. The jacket on the back of the chair and shot her.
Dear, dear, dear. Meanwhile, you were obviously you did your A levels and everything, and then you went on to training college, Kesteven Training College
in
Nottingham, near Grantham in Nottinghamshire.
I'd like to give credit here, Jean, the first A level student ever at Cromwell School.
Yeah.
The first person ever to do an A level.
Right. Yeah, that was the first year, was it, of A levels at Cromwell School?
Well, no,
excuse me. There we are. Fantastic. And so then you went on to Kesteven Training College to do teaching.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And you met people like Jenny and so on, who are now you in touch with. When you graduated as a teacher, you got you went to which school? Come on, which school did you go to? I'll talk about it in a minute. Many a time. But you used to go with Mrs. Hare in her Jaguar. She used to pick you up. We can come back to it, but we'll pass on that. But yeah. Basically, you did some great teaching.
Chase Terrace. The second one.
That was the second one. That was the one.
That was the one.
Yes, that's right. Chase Terrace.
Somewhere there, I guess.
Brownhill's Calicway.
I didn't realise you'd been to two. Anyway, Chase Terrace, I want to remember. Yeah.
Well,
then you used to go to Mrs.
Headmistress and poached you, didn't you? You're poached.
Yep.
Oh, and I still feel guilty because I would keep her waiting.
Before
I got beat from my
mother. You weren't very good at getting out of bed.
I beat myself up about that.
As a family, we weren't very good about getting out of bed.
How could you, leave her waiting?
Headmistress as well. Anyway, there we are, and I know you had a terrible accident with Mrs. Hare. Somebody pulled out, and all was well, fortunately. I know she was very badly hurt, and you were hurt as well. Luckily, everybody survived. That was good. And a bit of compensation, which wasn't bad, which is fine, and all the rest of it. But soon after that, you decided you were going to go to New Zealand for 2 or 3 years on an exchange scheme. Meanwhile, you had been finishing your A-levels and had started going to Aston University. Well, it was...
But before that, he worked in the chemist shop.
Oh, yes, well, he worked in the... I've already mentioned earlier. But you did work for Boots, didn't you, for a while? When that was before...
It was called a pre-registration year,
yeah. Yeah, that's good, yes.
Aston College of Advanced Technology.
Different
Aston Tech, where I did my A-levels.
Which
is now Aston University.
Yep.
And they were doing pharmacy there. The pharmacy school used to be elsewhere in Birmingham. It was moved over. Gosh, I used to know that. Can't get that. But you were talking, Jean, about your experiences, Chase.
Terrace.
And Chase Terrace. I remember the just a little point about this accident in this Jag. You were very lucky to survive. But I remember coming home that night and you were in Mom and Dad's bed. It was one of those things, when there was a drama and a crisis in the house, you didn't go to your own bed, you went to your mother and father's bed.
Yeah.
And you were 23 by then or something, I don't know. But it was something, you were in Mom and Dad's bed because you'd been an accident.
I don't remember that.
And that was the way it was, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember you saying to me, I'm lucky to survive. I'm lucky I'm alive. Mm. I think you damaged your hands and feet, didn't you?
Oh, a couple of fingers.
But I'm interested that you decided to go to university. You had a boyfriend.
What?
You had a boyfriend.
The guy Upton.
Upton, that's what I remember.
Yeah, lived on.
I remember Upton.
Between the Biggest Bush and Elizabeth Road, there was Windsor Road or something to the side.
Oh, yeah, I do remember Upton.
Yeah.
I can't remember his other name.
Margaret wrote down the side there, perhaps.
Something like that, yeah.
I didn't know he was from there.
And then he had this car.
And I think you gave him the car one night because you caught him reading Graham's Beano magazine.
Oh, really?
Mum told me the story anyway. And you decided that was him. That was the end of him. Soink. He went.
Yeah, that would be Mum's interpretation because she was determined to destroy it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, who knows, you know, those parents and stuff like that, but...
Really? Oh, yeah.
Anyway, look, I've skipped this up a little bit, because after we left Nicol Street, went to Elizabeth Road, remember it well, made friends with people like David Dudley, we used to go around the back, we used to have our trolleys and all that sort of thing. And Alec Lowry next door, he used to repair cars, and I used to watch everything he did, and I learned quite a lot about repairing cars from Alec Lowry next door.
Oh.
And that was nice. And, of course, when we moved back to Elizabeth Road, I was still going to, I don't know how old I was then, but I was still going to Beaches Road School every day on the 25 bus. I don't know how long I did that for, unless you know, bro, because we were talking about this the other day.
I don't believe
it.
I don't remember this.
I used to do it.
Correct.
I'm blown away.
But not for very long. I think it was till the end of the year, and then I started the new school.
That's right.
And I started the new school. I started the new school. I used to get off the bus when it came up to the Cozy Shop, which was at King's Standing Roundabout.
Yeah.
And I knew that the next stop I've got to get off. And that was it, and then I'd walk home. But when I got to the new school, I found that everybody wrote in double writing and I was still doing single writing. So that was a great trauma for me because I was told, laughed at really, because you're still writing baby writing. So I don't know how old I was, but not very old. Anyway, that was that. And, Elizabeth Road was fine and so on and so forth. I think we're up to date now because you're off to New Zealand and stuff. That's right. And you're up to date. So,
you built up some good mates, didn't you, at Bombay?
Yes.
At Bombay School, you had good
mates. Later on,
I remember you and the teenage lads. I remember you had a good thing going together.
Later on, yes, I did. And because later on, I went up with Kathy's brother, Michael Samuels, and all those lots. And we got a good repartee going and everything. And
remember having a new suit from Burton's.
That's right, and I remember you being very kind to me because you used to. I got this suit, and I think we went to some probably the Coventry Theatre once to see a Shakespeare thing, and I wore this suit, and then it stayed in the cupboard for about 6 months, And I think you were going out with some, with Malcolm or something like that. And he said, why don't you come along and join us? And I was quite young at the time, so it was good of you to sort of invite me along, you know.
Well, I remember this suit. You did. Because all your mates were summoned into the house to see the new suit. You didn't just pick out a colour instead of that. You wanted the lapels at the bottom doing this curve and the so-and-so doing that curve and the, and you'd specified in about 50 different ways. I imagine the guy burst, for God's sake. And anyway, and they'd done it. And they'd done it.
Charcoal grey it was. That was, I think, charcoal grey was the
thing. But it was hung up, in the back room. Wonderful. Elizabeth Road, and all your mates came through in a sort of a procession during the day, and inspected, had to admire how wonderful it was. And I always remember that. I was very impressed by that whole thing.
I always remember being asked when I was being measured up for it, which side do you dress, and not understanding what they meant. which side of the the ding dangle is this? Which side do you dress? Which side do you dress? So,
it didn't mean were you gay or were you straight.
No. They meant which side does the you know, thingy dangle down?
I have no
idea,
really.
I think
that's
Burton's for you. Anyway, there we are. I used to play with model row. We made a lovely model row, eh? And that was really good. I was proud of that. Very proud of it. And David Dudley had a model railway, and we used to swap notes and go and watch each other's railway. Boring, isn't it, really? But there we are.
But you're building your technical ability.
Absolutely. Electrical ability. Hands all underneath
You're way ahead of all the rest of us.
And everything, you know. Mm. It was really good fun. And, really without any, sort of pushing by anybody else. So I was quite pleased with that. But then all of a sudden, of course, you get to about 15 and 16 is looming and you think, I don't make model rowers anymore. You move on to cars because I've been watching Alex doing all those cars. And so that was when, of course, I bought the four-wheel BSA Scout, which I was too young to drive. Got it through the MOT, did all the work on it and did all the MOT, sold it to Nick Parton, and that gave me the money to buy a Morgan, which I tried when I was 16.
You were 16. How much was it?
£17.10 the Morgan was. And of course I still have it today. But,
it's cost a bit more than that since.
It's cost a bit more than that since, and it's worth a lot more now as well, so there we are. But, it was good fun that was, and it did mean I could, I thought, if I'm 16, my mates have got motorbikes. If I have this three-wheel racer Morgan, could be a bird catcher. I think was the idea. Never been catching any birds.
But
many years afterwards. Kathy was still, really, you were very young, really. Kathy was very young at the time, and I probably passed her by, because obviously when you're very...
You're both
when I was 16, school. She was like... 13 or 14 years. It was a big gap, but obviously as you get older, the gap gets less. So there we are. We're up to date now. You've gone to New Zealand, and you have...
And your car was a three-wheeler.
That's right. You had a three-wheeler. And brother was very kind to me, because not only did he take me out in my new suit now and again, give me an air round to sort of social events, but he also taught me to drive. And that was a great, great thing. Well done, Bro. Thank you very much.
By which time you were going out with Rosemary.
I think you probably were, yes.
And you would come home and crack the ice between your toes because it had no heating.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Oh, incredible. But that AC, Peter, I have a feeling you used to be able to drive because it's most of the license.
That's right.
It's largely blank. I think you took your test in it.
I took my motorbike test in it. Right.
We blanked off the reverse, so you couldn't get any reverse, and that we thought that made it illegal. That was just checking.
And he used to trust me to go out in it, to go with my mates. That's brotherly trust. That is, my God, I would have come back with mangled round the tree, but I didn't. No, that was very good. Well done, Brad.
He wasn't a very sexy girl, though, was he?
No.
I don't care. Tell me, he got us about, and all the mates were very happy. I think we used to manage to squeeze three across the front, actually, now and again. Oh, probably never knew that.
That was a great bench seat.
So, you know, it was good fun. That's true. And, of course, you unfortunately got your finger caught around the gubbins in the back, didn't you, when you were working at Boots, I think, and you just went into under the back and to do something and got your finger caught, and you nearly lost your finger, didn't you?
The exhaust was always falling off, so I tried to push the exhaust back on. Yeah. But it used a rag, because the exhaust was red off.
And the rag
was running. And the rag caught in the belt, and all my hands in the belt. How lucky I didn't lose hands or fingers then.
Yes.
Mainly looking back, I mean, no, not quite straight, but not quite.
Oh, they look good to me.
Yeah. But when looking back in your life, you think that's stupid things. I feel just a few stupid things I've done, really near to death stupid things.
Absolutely.
And that's one of them, you know.
Absolutely.
Boy, I nearly fell off a ladder. I was right off a ladder. And I was just on the pivot of the whole ladder falling backwards. It was too steep, I couldn't go out. Oh boy, I would have died if I'd fallen. It was so close to falling. I think I must have just moved my head forward and got the centre of gravity just slightly over.
Well, we're getting on with life now. You're off New Zealand. You met Pete, did you not? In New Zealand. You were supposed to go for 3 years and really, well, you never came back, of course, because the rest is history. And you met Pete. Meanwhile, John had met Rosemary. I went to Aston Tech, where you had gone, to do my A-levels, because they didn't do A-levels at school. I was in the second year where they did GCEs. So I got some GCSEs, not enough to go and do my A-levels at Aston Tech, where you went. And I think we used to go in, you used to drop me off at Aston Tech on the way in, when you were going to what was the College of Advanced Technology. You dropped me off, didn't you, I think, there or whatever.
Good.
So that was good. That was a nice synergistic...
That was a great place. Aston Tech for A-levels.
It was excellent.
It was way ahead of any regular school.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was excellent.
The quality of the education was excellent.
Campus space, all sorts of...
Old buildings.
There were library and magazines in the library, like car magazines and things. And it was also for the BMC apprentices and things. There were a lot of apprentices Rover apprentices and things. And they used to go there and do some training.
Yeah.
It was much more adult than schools were. Much more adult.
Yes, we were all called Mr. there. Mr. Slater. Mr. whatever. And, that was lovely. I mean, the respect was unbelievable the other way. You know, you respected the teachers, but they respected you.
I remember being, as all of us being invited by our chemistry teacher to his home on weekend or one holiday. And his wife was there, and Gerald was there, made us very welcome. We had a nice time. And that never happened at school, for goodness sake. Goodness me. You were Slater at school, you know. And
exactly,
the
yes.
The difference was dramatic. Dramatic. And the calibre of teaching was...
It was excellent, wasn't it? Yes. I've had that too. Well, you were instrumental in me going to Aston Tech, I think. I do remember you saying, well, you could go to Aston Tech and do A-levels, I mean, it was discussed and all that sort of thing. And I think without your sort of initiative, if I may say, that I don't think I would have done that.
The other reason I got involved in A-levels was because I fancied being a chemist, because I'd worked there as an errand boy.
Okay.
There's nothing dramatic, or you just sort of thought, I fancy doing this. And The word was on. I remember being told by Mr. Baister, you get yourself qualified as a pharmacist. And none of my pharmacists, he said, get paid less than £20 a week.
Wow, that was football money.
The message really was, for goodness sake, don't be a dispensing assistant.
Be a dispensing assistant.
Because he was very upset when I didn't do my training with him. I went to Boots to do the training. But that was a good move.
Golly gosh, well there you are, you. You had a...
But you decided to be the teacher, was the first person in the family who'd actually gone to anything beyond school. You going to teacher training?
Yeah, that was the first time. Anybody?
Anybody.
Yeah? That's true.
I can't remember who the head teacher was.
Either dead side or mom's side.
And said, what are you going to do? And I said, I want to be a hairdresser. You can be better than a hairdresser. You need to go to training college. So I didn't make the decision. The head teacher did.
Yes, there was a biology teacher that you had. He used to come over and give you a bit of tuition.
Yes, it wasn't him.
No, it wasn't him. But he was sniffing, I reckon. But put it crudely.
But in fact,
he was married, wasn't he? But he married another girl from who was at Aston College of Advanced Technology in the ophthalmics department. When he was there, when I was there, I remember used to see him and his new wife. But yeah, you did biology A level, and you were the first.
I did three A levels.
I didn't realise that, but. You were the first person, I thought, from Crown Hills to go and get A levels.
Oh, no. No, I was not the first. There was a whole bunch of us did it.
Really?
No.
You sure it wasn't just the first year that Crown Hills
did it? Well, maybe it was.
Okay. I was in the second year that did GCEs at Olmeyer School, you know. Anyway, I don't know.
And I recall you going to Kesteven, and Mum and Dad had your grant check. In fact, we all had grants. If it wasn't for grants, none of us would have gone.
Oh,
Mum and Dad had your grant check and sent you so much a week.
10 shillings a week.
And I remember after a term or two, you got smart. You decreed that you were going to cash your own bank check in future, your grant check in future. And Dad was incandescent.
I don't remember that.
And I remember Dad saying, that grant's not for you, it's for us.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
And I remember thinking, that is wrong. My God, that's wrong.
I didn't say anything.
I didn't say, oh, boy. And you hate. And a few weeks later, you're writing home and go, blow me some money, please, because I'm
running out of blowing it. I want some more.
You bought books, these book clubs, and you went. And then Mum and Dad, okay, we give you birthday money, and I don't know what. I hope you managed, I hope you survived, because when you're away from home.
And we had no money to get there and get back, we had to hitch. Back.
Oh, you used to do a lot of hitchhiking, didn't you? That's right.
God almighty, you know. That was dangerous, wasn't it? Well, at that age you do, don't you? It's fun as well. Absolutely.
Well, and drivers, I know it's dangerous, but it's certainly dangerous these days, but you picked off your hitchhikers in those days. Mm. Yeah. You don't do these
and
days.
We weren't that silly. We had one hand on the door to get out.
Oh, right.
One hand on our bag.
So yeah, the word, and the only word, one the, side the word was out. It. You
yeah.
did it, really?
Yeah.
Really?
And there was no central locking in those days, so at the end of the day, you could get out. There's no child locks and all that.
You had to do it once. I didn't know that. And now there was a young lad at the farm. By now, I was getting involved in this car and at the farm.
He had a homemade sports car, you know, with a
Graham Locke.
He was Graham.
And he came and fetched you back from college when you left. And I came with him. You bought a modern plastic bin.
British Racing Green, something or other, sports car. Right.
Graham Luck, I remember Graham, yes. Yeah. Charming chap.
But a lot of the girls at Kesteven got in the middle of the RAF bases nearby, training fighter pilots.
That's why Jenny was there.
Precisely.
Because her boyfriend was there.
That's right. She was there.
Precisely.
An aviator.
Have you ever seen Changing the Sun? Finish that first. Sorry. I'll come back to it.
Okay. Anyway, there we are. You obviously married Pete, and you've got, you know, you had all your four kids. Fantastic. Yeah. Lovely. Four boys. I don't know. John and Rosemary got married and had their two boys. And I much later got married to Kathy and had
two girls.
So there we are. We're fairly modern, really, aren't we now, in a way?
Well, you should mention grandchildren now, shouldn't you?
Well, I suppose we should, yes, of course.
Yeah, for the record.
That's right. So,
we haven't found out how to do it yet.
No, I know, you're still working on it, but Jean, come on, your grandchildren now then, Neil and Vanessa, your lad Neil and Vanessa have got,
Alex.
Max. And Izzy.
And Izzy, Isabel.
Because Neil has got Jack,
yeah,
who lives
yes,
in
as
the
well,
UK.
Jack as well lives in the UK. Then you've got, Brian and Kim, who have got Dylan, Jesse and Sean.
Yeah.
And then you've got Michael and his wife Biliana from Macedonia, who have got Stephen, give me, help me out.
Yeah, yeah.
Twins.
The twins.
Yeah, and Stephen and, anyway, the twins.
I'll tell you.
Sorry, Samantha and,
oh God.
Well, you know, when you've got so many, you can understand it's tricky. It's tricky, okay. And Paul, who, you know, he hasn't got any children there, but that's it. And that's
and your grandchildren.
And our older daughter, Claire, has got January. And that's all we've got at the moment. That's it. Yes, that's it. And that's us. There we are. Well, we've had a nice chat tonight. I think, Jean, it's your birthday, so I think you should be off the hook now. Because it's time. It's time.
79th birthday, baby.
We will have your 79th birthday. I think we could probably say that it's well into middle age.
Well, I think Mum and Dad would be very proud.
I think they would be very proud of us all. We've all done really well.
Yeah.
They gave us a good send-off because they were very keen on education and all the rest of it.
Absolutely.
Exactly right.
Without as a result
that,
of that,
not sure being,
yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
I mean, you've been a fantastic teacher all your life, and obviously, you've been got to the echelons of the top of industry in the jobs you've done. Some prestigious companies. I, with the help of Kathy, run our own business.
Multi-billions.
Made our own way.
Put together.
and so on. They would be very proud of us, I'm sure.
Oh, sure.
So we'll do another one sometime, but just now, so I'm going to say goodbye.